Supervisor.
This is the Music Supercast.
It's in my interest, in ours perhaps, for me to smoke a joint and calm down.
Hosted by Supergroup's Mary Prankster and lead music supervisor David Heyman. Recorded out of their Toronto and LA headquarters. Produced by Sorrel Sound and all vetted by me, Amani Sabri. Check out the Supercast blog at wearethesupergroup.com/MSC and don't forget to share.
I think I got my swagger back.
Once you could get to that understanding energetically,
yeah,
and then you get to the music kind of makes itself. It's a product of the moment.
Thanks for bringing it back to the Music Supercast. Really happy to join you. I'm in Supergroup. It's the morning. I'm at the headquarters getting ready to start the day. We got a lot going on. We've got States coming out. That's my movie I produced. Director Zach Gane will be joining us in Toronto at the Royal. He's coming in from Los Angeles to do a Q&A. Friendly Rich is going to be doing a front of the stage show. And then we're going to be screening the Toronto premiere of States. States the movie. com for more information. That's February 6th at the Royal Cinema in Toronto. It's going to be a great night. Check it out. Also, February 14th, that's right, Black History Month, the Day of Love, Valentine's Day, the perfect day to drop RT's Genius Brainchild project, Utopia Falls. So it'll be on Hulu and CBC Gem on February 14th. Please check it out. I'm so proud of the work we did. Team Boy Wonder with Sean Leon, Nikhil Seetharam. We have got music from J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar, Biggie Smalls, Nas, Mos Def, Daniel Caesar, Jesse Reyes, and more. And Jesse Reyes is kind of like why we're here, a mutual love. Canadian lady, powerful, and works with my good friend Junya T. In fact, Junya T is her touring DJ and has been working with her for many years. Junya has been a good friend of mine for many years. God knows why, because we have not placed enough of his music. It's just too good. We've got his songs on Kim's Convenience. We worked with him on a project called Record Mob. We place him on playlist and we pitch him often. But this new album, Studio Monk, which is dropping as we speak, he's dropping singles from the album Studio Monk, is one of the 15 top anticipated songs of 2020 by the Toronto press. I want you to check out Junya T where you can. It's at Junya T35 on Instagram. JunyaT.com is the main address, and you can check them out on Facebook and wherever you get your good music. You will find Sad Face Emoji featuring Jesse Reyes. He's also dropped Ooey and No Better featuring Milo Smith, Sean Leon, and Julian Thomas. Some beautiful people involved in this. We get down to it. We talk about community. We talk about his creative process. We talk about keeping it real in the studio using analog recording equipment, process, and sensibility. This man and I share the same sensibility. I give you Junya T on the Music Supercast. Thanks for coming back.
All the tours have brought us to some new places. Even just some one-off shows brought us to places that are cool in the States, you know?
Right on.
And it's been surreal, man.
How many dates have you done? You're Jesse's DJ, Jesse yeah. Reyes. Beloved artist, Canadian, just killing it out there.
The first Kiddo tour was like close to 28 dates.
Holy shit.
That was the first tour.
And then Europe.
And then we did Europe. Our first Europe run was fun. That was our first festival run.
Okay.
It was a bunch
of festivals.
That
was in the summer.
Summertime. And then the following year, we toured with Party Next Door. And then we did our first band tour with Halsey. The fun thing
about opening up for Halsey?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the first show of that tour actually was we headlined Montreal Jazz Fest.
Oh, dope. Loves Jazz Fest.
Jazz Fest.
But dude, don't get your head around Jazz Fest out there. It's like good shit now, right?
Jazz Fest is the one in Montreal.
It's
I love
the way.
It. I love it.
Yeah.
But it's surreal because we did it with that was our first show as a band. Do you know what I mean?
That's crazy.
And then after that we hit the road. Jumped into a tour bus and Yeah, and then after
how many folks on that tour?
As far as the team goes?
Yeah, she tours full on in the States with,
the whole team.
The whole team.
We have sometimes it's 12 of us.
Fuck.
It's fun. It's like a family though. You know what I mean? That's the sweetest part. You know what I mean? Family life vibes.
But somehow, in between all this Madness.
Yes.
You make Monk, 2019 Pirates Blend. But man, this is a beautiful, beautiful album.
Thank you, man.
I'm not being hyperbolic here. One thing that our listeners know is that I'm a tone guy. I'm like an analog wannabe guy.
Yeah, that's me all day, yo.
Buddy, it's like when I just had the honor of listening to at Strombo's house, that beautiful room there. And it was such a nice night. But what I couldn't shake was, the room full of 20 people who were just grooving on soul instruments in the most analog, naked, almost naked. It felt very naked. The whole night felt very naked.
Word.
All eyes on you, bro. How do you run that session? Tell me about that night.
That day was like, it was interesting, man. Because it started off with me leaving rehearsal for hitting the road with the band. So that ended at 4 o'clock and then flying down.
Someone else's music.
And then going to Strombo's to set up. But it really kind of started with our first listening experience in Atlanta.
Right.
So we ended up staying at this place called the Howell House.
Okay.
H-O-W-E-L-L, the Howell House. And it's like a historical house owned by this black architect that bought it in 1984 and turned it into this bed and breakfast that celebrates black artists in America. So there's an Aretha Franklin room, there's a Maya Angelou room, John Coltrane room, and all the art on the walls, all of the literature in the house. We had originally intended on doing a listening at a studio, which we're going to use Stankonia, because it would have been a full circle for us, because of our first trip to Atlanta, that's where we recorded at. But it's also a tight room, the A room.
Yeah.
So
with Andre, or just as people? Is that the whole package?
It was just our squad booking out the A room, doing the thing, you know? But then we got to the spot, and it's just an amazing home. I mean, I feel the music's a home vibe. Do you know what I mean?
That's what I loved about Strombo's.
Thank you. So the rooms actually had speakers in all of the ceilings that was controlled from the living room. So I'm like, oh, this is perfect. We should just do it here at the crib. you know what I mean?
We all just felt like your siblings there.
That's what I wanted. Some fam vibes, man.
Yeah, man.
Take your shoes off at the front door. You know what I'm saying?
That's what it was, man.
Yeah, yo.
How do you handle, I have enough difficulty, listening to this podcast back and just checking it over, but you're sitting in the room and taking this all in, and we're all vibing on the instruments,
Right.
And all eyes are on you at the same time, it's intense, right?
It's
an intense experience.
Interesting to witness people listening to the music you spent time on, For me, it was just fun to just connect with the people in the room that I haven't seen in a while, or some of the people I was meeting for the first time. I invited out some fans of the music that have been supporting the music for a long time as well.
That's very cool.
And even some surprise guests were there, I guess to me that was just a treat, really, just to see how people feel about the music, and just no cool in the room. I didn't want it to feel like that at all.
Well, I was there, so it couldn't.
Yo, you're the coolest guy there, man. We were blessed. How you mean? You know what I mean? So it was definitely fun to see the music be able to facilitate that kind of a room.
Yeah.
And that was really that is the goal with the music.
There was such an energy going around that room.
Thanks, man. It was good.
I want to keep talking about community, man, because that's how I've always seen you, is a guy that's a supporter, not only a friend and a great musician, but a supporter, because you always are quick to introduce me to other people.
Word.
And elevate other people, which is my motto, man. It's the supergroup idea is having a group of supervisors that I'm going to lift off, and then from there we're all just going to kind of soar.
Right.
You have that exact thing, man. So I want to go through some community members with you.
Okay, word.
All right, we're just going to drop some names.
Hell yeah.
When did you meet Jessie Reyes?
Wow. Jessie Reyes, I met her when I was coming out of one of the first challenges in my life. And actually, it was just this universal serendipitous thing. Because her manager, Ruiz.
Shouts.
Fat shouts to Ruiz. Way back, you know what I mean? So he was working with her, and she requested a producer that he knew that is known for working with live instruments and that kind of feel. And the only person he could think of at the time was me. So
still the only person.
So you got slacker too.
Yeah, we know we get the slacker. We get the slacker.
Okay, so whatever. So he brings it to the studio. Fat shouts to my brother, Avi. Avi, pretty much what happened was I was working out of a studio in Mississauga, and then after lost the studio, and I had nowhere to work out of for a stretch of time. And then in comes Avi, who ends up acquiring the studio that's at Young and Shooter back in the day, like when Flo used to be in that building. And he just like handed me the keys. He's like, oh, there's a studio you can use.
Yeah, here's some 10,000 hours to log in.
That's exactly where I put in a lot of those hours. So that was the space that he brought her to. So our first session, we cut like three joints. Out of those three songs, one of them was We Got This, which was on ICU. The second song was Assy, which was also on ICU. And then from there, we just started our creative relationship and just checking for each other, you know what I mean? So ICU was kind of like me, the beginning of my journey to becoming the studio monk. Okay. So it was me doing the same kind of thing by featuring other artists, but there were also songs that I rapped on.
All right, so who are the Smash Brothers?
Word, the Smash Brothers, the infamous Smash Brothers,
Song
City representative Smash Brothers.
We're going back, man.
Oh, man, Smash Brothers, that's Junior T and Crooklyn are the Smash Brothers.
Crooklyn, eh?
That's right.
Where's Crooklyn today?
Crooklyn is also killing it today, man. He's also experienced a similar evolution as a creative. He's producing great music for artists that are out there. He produced Titty and Dolla for Isaiah Rashad with Big Pops. And he also produced Out of Sight, Out of Mind for J-Rock and J. Cole.
Oh, wow.
That's him and Pops.
Yeah, big shouts to J-Rock, J. Cole, Utopia Falls coming out 2020. Yeah.
Yo, Kirkland's still doing the thing, man. That's cooking, awesome. Chefing the beats, you know?
That's awesome. And you were rapping back then, right?
Yes, sir.
You only have one song that you rap on in this album, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
We'll come back to storytelling and telling other people's stories in a second, because that's very interesting to me.
Word.
David Gwinnett.
Wow. Dave G.
Dave G. Big Dave G. The legendary supporter.
The legendary. Yes. He's the original.
Yes. Oh, the original elevator.
Man. Him, he's a cornerstone in my life and reality overall. So like, long story short, he became my sensei. And I was just like the grasshopper running around with that squad, right? So, and like Eloquence, DJ Eloquence, was a part of that fabric. And that was also welcoming because she was the first person to ever play me on radio.
Beautiful.
So it's like familiar faces.
Right on. So should we jump right to keep it old school then? If we're talking Eloquence, let's go Adria Kane.
Wow. Adria Kane is definitely one of my faves. People.
Good people.
You know,
Lil Sims.
Yo, Lil Sims. Hella dope.
Hella
That's
dope.
Like one of the first people to like really like mess with the production.
Yeah.
One of
four
the
four tracks or something like that with her, right? Back in 2014?
We had the one main one. And we had like a bunch of records that we cut like from back then. But like the one main one is that Don't Sleep On Me with Emerson Brooks.
We're gonna drop that one right now, actually.
I know many, many people disappoint you in life, but don't be down, you'll be fine. Break bread with those who you think know you most, but it's a cruel world, shit, I've been told.
Word.
Have you watching Top Boy?
Yeah.
She kills it, right?
She's amazing in
She's
Top
a killer.
Boy. Yeah, man.
Is that one of your favorite shows on TV? What are you watching?
What am I watching right now?
Yeah.
You know what? I've been watching like a lot of random YouTube content.
Really? Just like music or?
I'm like watching like 2 Chainz' Most Expensivest. Like random stuff. Yeah. Like, I don't know, man. I'll be watching like those
Vice
animated
adjacent content.
Sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, some Vice stuff.
Isn't
like,
that what that 2 Chainz shit is?
It is.
It's either Vice or it's like
it's
Vice
GQ.
Adjacent.
It's GQ. Yeah, man.
GQ trying to be Vice.
Yeah. It was a nice just switch up for like that late night watching random stuff. But as far as TV goes, I don't know, man. What am I really watching? Animated stuff, a lot of
you're
cartoons.
You're a busy guy though, man.
Yeah, it's like whenever you're winding down, that's when you're watching something. Some Black Dynamite, maybe some Boondocks.
I know you're watching the next name on the list because your moves are so in the same groove, man. Slacka the Beat Child.
Oh, Beat Child?
Tell me about Slacka. Tell the audience about Slacka. That's
Slacka's
more important.
Like,
we know who he is.
He's like the legendary, godly, analog king of the North and like international wizard. you know, in my eyes, like.
How did he contribute to this album in particular? Because it seems to be either heavily influenced by him or actually he's got his hands on it.
It's many ways. I would say he influenced the music for sure, because me coming up as a producer, listening to the soundscape of producers in Toronto at the time, Slacko's really the first to bring that organic warmth mixed with organic instruments and did it right. And it sounds heavy and timeless, you know?
So it's all about pulling it together, not so much about the piees, but
right.
He's got this.
I've been a fan of his for many years. Man. Before,
did he
like,
mix
him
it and master it? Like, have any
he mixed it? He mixed the record. Yeah. And like, I've been a fan of his for many years before him and I even had a chance to work. So the first song we worked on back in the day was on ICU called You and I. So from there, that's like when our relationship started creatively and as like brothers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was like crazy to see how like after many years, he would be the one to mix a whole project.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
It's a beautiful thing, man. And it's a beautiful thing to hear kind of the youngins, I guess you could say, coming right. up that are kind of giving respect to the space in the music and the sound, like a lot of that after party vibe that a lot of the hip hop, you know, young cats are coming up with. There's a lot of space and beauty. And I think that comes from that analog or wanting to be close to that analog
word.
Feel.
Word.
So, you know, to me, you kind of guys define that street sound for Toronto.
Oh, thank you.
You know, I also thought it was an interesting lineage based on your heritage. Because I always saw the lineage deeper. So I'm wondering if you know any of these names. Jojo Bennett.
Jojo Bennett.
Wayne McGee.
Oh, you're talking
Jackie
musician.
Jackie Matu.
Oh, Jackie Matu, man. Oh, see,
the
that's
Cougars.
A, yo, actually, that Jackie Matu was a crazy one because, like, that's like fam.
Tell our audience who that is.
That's like one of the illest organists ever. The man that has like the bubble style down to the T. Like when, you know what's funny about that? The other day I was chilling with my dad, like literally 2 days ago. And I played him puzzles. And like, he's like, yo, this is our rhythm, you know? He's like, you know who'd kill this? Jackie Matu with a bubble. I was like, yo, dad. And I'm like, how are you going to say Jackie Matu? Like I could go and just pull this guy right now.
That's awesome.
But yeah, man.
Yeah, those legends, I mean, they really built the West, you know, Eglinton area. Like,
yeah,
made
yeah.
it what it is. They started the Satellite Orbit School.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the Orbit Room now.
Oh, yeah.
There's a whole lineage that I'm tuned into and I've actually licensed lately a lot.
That's wild.
I produced the film and we got 4 songs by Jojo Bennett and the Fugitives. Wow. And then 2 songs by Jojo Bennett and the Muddy's All-Star. So there's one guy, Harry Muddy, who lives, he's got Mood Disc Records out of New York.
Right.
And he's, you know, he's a great guy. But he's keeping all those records real tight, right?
Some classics.
So there's all sorts of politicking around this stuff, but at the bottom of it all, there's some beautiful music.
Right.
And I see that lineage all through your stuff in Toronto.
Word,
so,
thank you.
You know, bless, man. And you know, it is all about framing everything. So I've got one name on my list where I know this, I want this conversation to go in, which is the look of all your stuff and the way it's put together with a vintage.
Word.
Again, looking backwards, man. That's part, to me, part of the storytelling.
Right.
So who's Dan Lemoyne? First of all,
Dan Lemoyne is like the visual wizard for like the music videos, man. And like, there's a reason why I picked the people to do the certain roles. The one thing I wanted to keep consistent for the whole project is for it to have an analog feel. So that's why Slacka was the prime choice for the sound.
Sure.
So for the visuals, I wanted to have like a real analog texture in style and in feel, you know? So Dan Lemoyne, in my eyes, is the god of that. So, like, it's an honor and a blessing that, like, he was down to do all the visuals.
And you were like, take what you do, because he's very out there with what he does. You can definitely see his style. Check him out on the gram, you know?
Yeah, he's sick with
it. You're like, bring that to my palette and make that happen.
I just, like, gave him the music and just, like, trusted him. I'm like, whatever you see this should be, I trust you.
Right on. Well, so, that no better commercial, man. I mean, commercial.
Commercial. Put it in a commercial.
No, yeah, let's get it in a commercial.
That's
let's
what I'm
really,
saying.
Let's get it. Let's get it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's time for everybody. You mm-hmm. know, it really is, though. Sean Leon is killing it now, man.
You know, fast shouts to Sean Leon, man.
Big shouts to Sean. So he's on that track.
No better.
Who else is on this track?
Milo Smith and Julian Thomas.
Okay. So we got two dudes, a girl. You're not vocalizing anything on this. You're on one track. That's it, right?
That's right.
Okay, beautiful. And the music video featuring all sorts of friends. Like, are those extras? Or is that actual crew? Like, what's up with that? Because I want to be at that party. Well, I wasn't invited. I understand why, but yeah, go on.
Hey, man. You know what I'm saying? It was actually most of the people on the album. That's the crazy little tidbit about, like, if you pay attention to who's in the video, they're all, like, people from the city and people that are, like, featured on the album. So, like, if you notice in Know Better, there's the lead that's the lead in Thinking Over. She's in both videos.
Dope. We'll drop them both in the show notes, actually.
No doubt. So, like, there's also Sean Leon's in it. There's Super Drama Go, who's also on the record. He's in the music video. Saber, who's just like my sis, who's a great singer from LA that lives in Toronto, it's in the video. Boko Maru, who's like an amazing live sound engineer, producer, singer, is also in the video. Jesse Aaron, who's like the guitarist for Sunreal, is also an amazing producer, is in the video.
We had him in a video with Adrian years ago. Yeah.
Right? And then also Mark James is on the keys in that video.
Some great people, man.
just the heads.
And a lot of beautiful people, I gotta say.
Just energy's everything,
Well, there's
man.
A great energy. There's a great lineage, I feel, that retained in this like new style with these young people that are on the cusp with newness. But yet, again, I go back to like your album covers and stuff. It's Blue Note Records to me. It's the Verve, you know?
Word.
Is that your influence there?
The person that did my visuals is the homie Hines. And he's been doing my visuals for our music since the last Smash Brothers record, Think It's a Game. And that's like when we've learned about, you know, the idea of branding and having something consistent that really matched the music. So he did ICU. And then as I evolved into this new creative, the Studio Monk, he's the one person that I truly trust with visuals that really represent the music. And that's what he produced, man, those feels.
It's beautiful. You know, as a vinyl guy and a guy that loves dust. And even throwing like the Pirates Blend sticker on there, $5.99 or whatever.
Yeah, $5.55.
Which is too much to pay. Just fucking rip it from YouTube. He doesn't care. Yeah, you do.
I do. Yeah. Buy the vinyl.
Yo, stream that. So, man, I mean, it just shot. And who's taking pictures of us? I mean, it doesn't end, right? The whole team.
Oh, man. Ashley Hutchinson has been like really like bringing the story of Studio Monk together.
It's
and that's
so
really
important.
Been like a blessing to have that support on like the sharing of this album. That's something that I didn't get to do with ICU and like I'm happy to be able to do now moving forward with the music. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So storytelling to you is really the core of Junior T. Even though you're not going to hear again your voice on a lot of stuff, is the journey. And that's what I love about your music. And again, also why I think it's smart that, you know, we were talking before. I think I love that you're dropping these pieces and chunks, you know?
Right.
Because it's telling a story with the art, with the photography, with the videos. It's all coming together. Is there a story being told at large? What is the larger narrative of the Studio Monk album, considering it's a lot of other people's voices and words?
It was ironically the overall arcing story, how it came together. Because at first, it's a product of a lot of songs being made. And all the songs were made the same way. Vibes, on the spot, all the songs were freshly created. From the songs to the lyrics and how it was recorded.
Song camp style. Like
just vibe out style, really. You know what I mean? So like, at the end of the 2.5 years and I ended up with those songs, I guess what the album really is saying is just take your time with things and let life do its thing. You know what I mean?
Do you dictate that or like how does the actual process work? You come in and talk to them about what your intention is with the album first and then let them go away and come back with some ideas?
Everything is literally just like come to the studio, we sit there and talk shit for like an hour and a half. Like that's some mandatory thing for me.
So you bring them in, they got to have face to face, look at their eyes.
We just ground, chill, you know what I mean? Whether it's like smoking weed or drinking some juice or like eating some good food and laughing for like a good amount of time. Because once you could get to that understanding energetically, and then you get to the music kind of makes itself. It's a product of the moment.
Well, you got them in there in the first place because you somewhat know their story, you know where they might go, you like them creatively, you like their sound, right?
A variety of reasons. Sometimes it's just the personality of sometimes. It's just like the universe puts these people in my, like, sometimes some of these songs were like guests coming with a friend. You know what I mean?
So Benjamin AD, who that? What up? Oh, wow. That song is amazing.
Yo, that's thank like, you. Oh, Benjamin is like my brother from out in Lewisham. You know what I mean? Like when I put out ICU, my goal was to put it out in London, England. So my way of doing that was putting like 200 units in my suitcase and fly there and then have the release date happen while I was out there. That's okay. What I thought.
And you got
releasing
away with it,
it in London, meant, you know?
Shouts to the TSA.
So like I'm over there and he was like the first homie that I connected with to work with. And we've been brothers ever since. Yeah. So pretty much we've been working since 2014. And yeah, man, one of my favorite people in life, first and foremost. And he's also somebody that lives by the same rules creatively. Like, you know, we're not making fast food, we're making wine, you know? Take time with it.
Let's not even think about it. You don't even know you still do. But I see you wear it in my view. I'm not talking competition, convoluted complication. Try but you can't hide it from my view.
And that song's Thinking Over.
Mm-hmm.
And that is released already.
Yes, sir.
Available on Spotify, SoundCloud, all the goodies.
Yes, sir.
And if I throw out another name, Elijah Dax keeps coming up in your catalog.
Yes, sir.
Who's that?
Elijah Dax is one of the Flockhouse's very own.
Oh, Flockhouse. We got to go back. Put a pin in that one for a sec.
Yeah.
But go on, Elijah.
Elijah Dax is the homie from Chattanooga, Tennessee. And he's an amazing vocalist, amazing writer, amazing person. You know what I mean? He will definitely backhand somebody if you're being mean to people. He's definitely an advocate for being a nice person.
Yeah, sure.
One of my faves. Yeah, man.
And what joint is he featured on?
He's on Ooh Wee.
Ooh Wee.
And Ooh Wee was like my first time going to the Flockhouse to chill out and work. And Ooh Wee definitely describes the time spent there and how much music we made.
Well, talk to me. What is this?
Flockhouse, the new age Motown, man. I'm like beautiful. So what it is?
Oh, is that what we're talking here?
Yes, that's what the Flockhouse is.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's like one of my favorite places on earth because it's like this house on an acre.
Okay.
That's like blanketed by trees, so people can't really see it from the street, and it's like an artist community in this house. So it's three floors. It's got four studios in it. One of the main studios on the main floor with like a big bay window, grand piano in there. All the musicians that live there are wizardry level. So like, you know.
And they live there?
Live there. All like brothers. So like, you know, there's Elijah lives there.
Okay.
There's Dalton, who's a crazy writer, singer. There's Jared, who's like a great drummer, bass player. So many had Suavo, that's an amazing saxophone player. There's a bunch of them. So I met those guys through YG Tut, which is an artist that was on ICU.
Okay.
That's in this group called The House, which is like Isaiah Rashad and a bunch of people. So he's been my broski since then. And we had never met in person for many years. And then one year, the manager, Eric, who like runs Flockhouse, got a show booked for one of his artists for a CBC show on the island.
Okay.
So he was coming to Toronto.
Crazy.
So we met for the first time face to face. He came to the studio. We cooked up some stuff. So he's like, come to our spot out and chat. So Jesse got booked for a show in Atlanta. And I just took a bus from the airport to chat.
How many days?
4 days.
4 days.
4 days in chat. So in the 4 days, we made 14 songs.
Oh.
What? And like out of the 14 songs, I took one. And the one song was Ooh Wee.
Ooh Wee, goddamn. Yeah, we'll stick to your plan.
Shit.
Yeah, that's like the first thing
I guess that's the process, right? You gotta flush it all out, tease it all,
you
play
just, like,
it all.
Leave room for it, man, and that's the thing. When you
are those combinations? Like, is it, was Ooh Wee one song, like one demo that you then took, or was it?
No, we made that in like one sitting. That was like, I literally walked in.
Crazy.
One thing I requested was
so
a bass guitar.
So borrows nothing from the other 13, let's say.
No, it's just like everything's were just like unique moments.
That's creativity. 14 in 4 days.
Yeah.
Just knocking them out. kind of these guys, one's up all the time, I guess.
Somebody it's literally just like me coming down in the morning, starting something, somebody walking into the room being like, yo, that's fire, sitting down, starting to pen something, and then like tracking it, and then Swave walking in.
So you don't sleep when you're out there. For real.
Studio monk, man.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean?
Just go in those vibes and just keep going and going.
Yeah. But you definitely, like, when you have great energies, you don't really get tired. You naturally take the cycles you need to, like, keep the whole thing going, you know? That's what's magical about Flockhouse. It's just, like, all the energies that are there keep it so fresh all throughout the day, you know?
Is weed legal there?
No, but...
No, but still, like, that is a different thing, right?
It should be legal over there.
It should
there.
Be legal.
You know what I'm saying? Just because of Flockhouse, that whole state should go legal.
I want to go out to Denver, man, because they got shrooms legal there. Word. We could really have some good shit happening.
Denver.
That's where the new album's going to be made.
Colorado, that's...
Yes, your eyes just lit up. You saw that. Yeah. Oh, shit. Studio
put
Monk
a pin 2. On 0. That. You know what I'm saying? We'll revisit that later.
All right, some more names coming at you, man. So these, might be like some older names, so we can go anyway, but, Lord Quest, I met you, we were talking to Lord Quest.
Lord Quest
for a while.
is the G of all G's, man.
Where is that guy? What's going on? I love him. And he's not in Toronto anymore. He's now killing it with other
guys. Just making music anywhere they need him.
Right on.
You know what I mean? So he's the traveling man.
And you introduced me also to Shy Wisdom.
Yo, Shy Wisdom's amazing too.
Who is Maja One?
Maja One's one of my senseis, man.
No way.
She's
still friends with her?
Of course, she's my older sister, man.
She's great, eh?
Maja One, like, fun fact, she actually may have to be credited for, like, officially, like, unleashing the studio monk or, like, starting me on the path.
Beautiful, man.
Yeah, but the way
she
that she did
monk
that.
Out for you, man.
Yeah, man. How she did that was getting an opportunity to book out Tuff Gong for 4 days.
What?
Yeah, and that was the first time I ever produced a band, like, live off the floor.
Okay, at Tuff Gong Studios.
At Tuff Gong. They locked down the A room for us for 4 days.
So which song of hers were recorded at Tuff Gong?
See, this is, like, years ago.
Because I got New Love. But there are some other tracks.
Oh, these songs didn't. These songs didn't get released. These songs just like revolted songs that got made. That were just a part of like what blew my mind and changed my whole perception on how I could create music.
She was ahead of her time, I would say.
Oh, definitely.
Like precursor to a lot of badass hip hop.
Hell yeah.
Fronted, obviously. Like,
and even just like the
Asian
independent
babe.
Artist that knows business, she's definitely on the forefront of that.
Someone else who's huge on their visuals and like, I think she's a visual artist and like works in that whole paradigm.
Yeah,
as
man.
Well, right?
She definitely taught me about like having a high standard for your art.
Well, let's talk about spirituality too, like on the monk angle, the studio monk angle. You seem like a very spiritual guy. Does that guide you in your ideas, you know, and believing in things happen for, you know? Tell me about your philosophy here.
Feel like it's like very ironic, the journey that led me to the title and then also like the habits that I've adopted over time. Like I could say I've become even more of a spiritual person through like just being in pursuit of music as like, you know, what feeds me and what like, and always, you know what I mean? But,
is there like a mantra that drives you? Like something that you go back to? Like,
you know what? I find new ways to get mantras from life. You know what I mean? I've had different mantras that change through seasons, but like definitely I'm growing into newer habits. And like the one thing that stays a constant is just being patient. And just letting things be, you know?
Yeah, man.
If there's any kind of mantra that's going to be a daily thing, those two things, you know what I mean?
Right on. Like, who do you look to? Your sound is sort of an East Coast vibe to me, at least, you know? Those are the poets, those are the preachers, those are like the rabbis of me growing up, more so than the actual rabbis, and it feels like the same to you. Who are your people? Like, is it Mos Def and Q-Tip and Tribe? And
a lot of that, man. A lot of that East Coast stuff definitely influenced, like, me as an MC, for sure. And even, like, the soundscape. I found the West Coast later in my life, but the West Coast definitely influences my sound in a big way, too.
Yeah.
Because, like, my appreciation for synthesizers and, like G-Funk and, like, even just the use of rhythm and bounce in West Coast hip hop is very different, and I appreciate it all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But what is Mississauga culture in the early 2000s? Let's talk about that. What was happening there, man?
Oh, man.
Like, because that's West Side culture.
Oh, that is West Side culture.
If we're talking East Side, that's like West
KJ?
Side.
Like KJ? Are we going to talk about some KJ right now?
Yo, talk to me. I need someone to explain to me how, or can explain I, can to I the say audience like a, how strong the lineage of like outside of Toronto influence has changed the Toronto and has led up to the beautiful place we're at now with the Raptors winning and the whole city coming together, where people who were in the outskirts when that team came together, trying to find the GTA, you know? And at the same time, now we're at a place where all kind of professionals living in Toronto and working in Toronto in the same community. So it's like a beautiful thing. Maybe I just explained it.
Yeah, well, like Saga has a lot of people.
You know, like it's...
That, like, you know what? I think what made Saga artists different than the people in the city is that we were from Mississauga. So we always had something extra to prove because we were at a disadvantage just being from the city. So I think the byproduct of that was we just had to work twice as hard to be seen.
How does that relate to Jesse Reyes? Because I see a lady who's working twice as hard.
See, I think that's just like the main ingredient for anybody that wants to be exceptional, you know? So for the people that represent wherever they, even like a lot of the people representing Toronto may be from outside of the inner city because they were faced with the same conditions. Do you know what I mean? Because like when you got to work twice as hard to be seen, that's a big reason why like all of the artists from Canada are great, because we all have to work twice as hard to even be considered by the world market.
That's right.
You know, so it's pretty much a similar phenomena within the same like country, but it's bred some great music. And I must say, like, all ends of our city have bred wizards of all sorts, man. Like,
absolutely,
like,
man.
Mark James, one of my favorite. TJ Whitelaw, one of my favorite.
We're gonna get into it all, man. We're gonna have Boy Wonder in here from Brampton, Nikhil. We're gonna have Kingsway, like, Frank Dukes in from Thornhill, my hood. Like, it's all from the outside, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I know they all could relate to that.
Absolutely.
Variable.
All those Brampton boys are all using FL and shit. Like, they're all weird in their own little way.
Yeah, everyone's just got, like, you know, their environment that allows them to be creative.
But it's these nice little bubbles that, you know, finally, I think, in the last 5 years, at least, have really gelled together.
Yeah.
You know, we're all seeing each other from these different corners come together. Frankly, I'll be honest, like, in Los Angeles a lot of times, which is dope, and we're just seeing each other, like, making it, but that's coming together here too.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful thing, man.
I'm so happy to be able to witness it, man.
That's right.
It's some fun stuff, man. Like, now is like, it's so cool to see the younger generation also be leaders of that too, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, man. There's so much coming up, and there's obviously roles you can take, not only putting out your own music, but then producing for other people. Is that something that appeals to you?
I'm having fun with this Studio Monk journey so far, because it's really just learning how to make space in the studio and bring out the best of the moment. And I'm just like really curious to see where that's going to take me.
Right on.
Because so far what's been created from this workflow is surprising me. So I just want to see where else it can go.
And I'm so basic, because I'm just a basic loser, you know? But like, Let's not forget all the names I can't pull out because their credits suck and people don't fucking print vinyls or insert notes or anything. So, like, there must be all these great trumpet players, horn players. Can we just throw some out there that deserve some love?
Oh, man. One thing is, I'm making sure that all the credits are available because of all the players.
Where
are
they?
So, like...
Show us.
It's going to be everywhere. You know what I mean?
Spotify does have credits now, which
But I'm definitely gonna put it on like Instagram posts and all that stuff. So like, that's, to me, is like the best part about music, is being able to see how many hands were a part of making that special moment. And also, like, the musicians I feel get underrepresented a lot.
For sure. So, I mean, the horns on your album, start there. Give me some horn players.
Danny DePoe, that's the trumpet work on that. Also, we have David Ariza on saxophone and Ben McDonald on saxophone as well. And this homie Tom that played trombone. I did like a group horn arrangement for a couple of the records.
All these guys in the same room once.
Yeah, man.
Nice.
Mic placement, old school Steve's.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's how you get that, like, that tone and that saturation. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So you're micing the room and everyone, or you believe in like putting the mic in the center and let them all go at it?
Yeah, put the mic in the center, place them properly, you know what I mean?
Shit.
It's fun.
I love that stuff. Everyone check out the Tommy Dodd story. You know Tommy Dodd?
Break it down for me.
Dude, best fucking producer ever. King of the one mic, you know? Recorded Ray Charles, Aretha. He recorded Clapton's Layla, the piano thing at the end.
Tommy Dodd.
Tommy Dodd, D-O-W-D.
King of the one mic. See, that's funny about that. My favorite thing to do is just use one mic.
It's great, man. That's how you get the room. That's how you get the fucking goodness.
Thank you, man.
Like, who are the percussionists on this thing? Is it mostly just like, because it feels like a lot of analog shit there.
It's me on percussion. That's me playing the drums and all
that. You playing live, though.
Oh, the first opening joint.
There's
that's
some
like
live
the,
drums
the
on
kit,
that album.
It's Chino Davila.
Dude.
That kit work is that guy.
Right?
Like the program drums are me, but those live drums, woo, Chino's a problem, man.
Beautiful, man.
He also plays with a band called The Reverse.
Okay, we're going to go to lightning round now to wrap it up, man.
Okay.
We ask all the artists this stuff.
Yeah.
It's easy. Just go with what's on your brain, okay?
Okay, we're...
You ready? Helmets on, man?
Ready, bro.
Who was the most important artist to you at age 13?
Ooh, that's a crazy one. Lightning round. Age 13.
Lightning round.
Helter Skelter? No, 13. What grade is that?
13? 13, you're in grade 7 or 8.
7 or 8, 13.
Whoa. See, that's why I put it like you're in public school.
Oh.
Your last year of public school. But you also feel like you're the shit because you're top of the public school, you know?
Yeah, I think I was bumping Fugees.
Fugees. Makes sense.
Yeah, Fugees was like definitely top for me at that time.
Okay. 21.
21. Ooh. J Dilla.
I see the lineage happening here, though. You know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
All right. What was the most life-changing movie when you were in public school and 13 years old?
Oh, public school. Oh, Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
Moonwalker.
Yeah.
Okay. Age 21.
Be cool.
Now, what are you watching? Again, nothing.
Again, nothing but Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
That's your
Yeah, I'm watching the oldies.
And the final question in lightning round.
Yeah.
In a film, what actor would play you?
Oh, wow.
Dun, 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 dun.
Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle.
Just so he'd have to have red dreads or something. You know what I mean? That'd be entertaining enough.
And the show is over. What song do we go out on here, man? Give us an obscure one because we played the goodies already.
Dreams Come True.
Dreams Come True. Junior T, thank you so much for joining me, man.
Yeah, thanks
really
for having me, guys.
Really appreciate it, man. So much good stuff ahead.
Thanks, man.
Cheers, bro.
Peace.
Ain't too tired of keeping up appearances. Don't you want to live your life?
First get in and search your best of fun. Verse finesse, deserve respect is wrong. Once it turns to stress, the worst is yet to come. Who would've known the same song ain't soothing the soul? Stay calm, stay moving along. But I'm afraid it's game on and I'm losing control. On a whole different type of time, that's as of late. What more must I sacrifice? Feel shackled chain. Why you always brung up all the time I take? No one ever brung up all the time I gave. Became clear in these times of mine at home alone. Even gotta shine that light if no one knows. Dealing with the highest highs and lowest lows. When every level in between as well seems like hell can impede the need. Need to let go, release memories of before and forget.
So
love it, come true. Look what it's come to. Love it,
yeah.
Come on,
take a break.
Love it, come true. Look what it's come to.
This
was a dream of Miami.
Why would you let it go?
Let it go.
The Music Supercast is a production of Sorrel Studios and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.